I've had a phrase going through my head for a couple weeks, and so I started bouncing it off somebody and some people and trying to get them to tell me what it meant. But we're not going to get to that phrase today. So I thought I'd just warn you right now, we're not going to make it there. But the phrase is simply one that we should all have an answer to. And I'll give you the Greek and the Hebrew and Dwight's response to it. It's just, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You ever try to figure out what that all means? We throw it around a lot. What does it mean? Well, we won't go there today. You can come up with all your answers by next Sunday. So don't sit there with your mouth open. Got you thinning. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 19. We're going to read through a few verses, and then we're just going to talk about the first part of this. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell. The Greek word for fullness, and I don't have to look this up, it's polerma. It means the very life, nature, character, power, ministry of the Father dwelt in Christ. And so he could honestly say, and people think and said, well, Jesus and the Father are the same person. No, they're not. But you could also say, and Jesus did to Philip, if you see the Father, you have what? You've seen me. How could he say that? Number one, they were totally united. Perfectly united. Never had a disagreement. Never had an argument. That's hard to figure out in today's world. But the very nature and character and power, anointing and ministry dwelt in Jesus that dwelt in the Father. And so Jesus could look at them. If you want to know what the Father is like, just look at me. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Coming to Good Friday, coming to Easter. Don't let that be the only time you think about the blood of Christ. I was reading a spiritual warfare book last night, and understand that they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. There's a time, and you might do it every morning, you might do it every night, you might do it whenever you face a problem. You cover yourself with that precious blood of Jesus Christ, because that blood will never lose its power. The one thing that Satan trembles at is realizing that Jesus shed his blood to pay the price and to eradicate sin. This is all just extra. I'll take another offering about halfway through this. And then he comes to us, and I want you to understand something this morning. I want you to understand it's only by the love, grace, and mercy of God that the Gentiles were brought in. How many of you realize that at one time Jesus told his disciples, I don't want you going to the lost. I only want you going to the lost house of Israel. I don't want you going to the Samaritans. I don't want you going to Gentiles. I don't want you looking for all kinds of people. Get to the house of Israel. And so we come to a place where we need to understand that. And Paul is writing about that as he does in Ephesians. And it says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. I want you to look at that. And you who were once alienated, that word alienated in the Greek means you were totally separated. You had no access. You had no way to come. Your good works wouldn't do it. Your sacrifices wouldn't do it. Nothing you did would ever get you to the place where you were accepted by God. That's a hard place to be. I want you to think about that. What if we were sitting here this morning trying to earn our way to God? Maybe your life's been messed up. Maybe you've had situations go wrong. Maybe you just tried everything you can to overcome something and nothing helped. But then you saw the little Jewish man running around and praising God, and you said, and he looked at you and said, "You have no way of getting there. You don't have an access. There's no way." And that's what Paul's telling us, because Paul was an ambassador to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected him, and God told him to go to the Gentiles. How many know that? And yet, at one time, Paul was preaching to a group of people. At one time, this group of people was totally separated. They didn't have any way to get there. And Paul says, now you've been brought near through the death of Christ. Let me show you something. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, every once in a while, you just need to stop and thank God for Jesus. Thank the Father. And you say, what do you mean? Without him, you'd still be on the outside looking in. Without him, you'd have no access. Without him, you'd have no hope. Without him, you try to work and work and work and work and work. You could go to church. You could do the penance. You could say our fathers. You could do all kinds of stuff. It wouldn't work. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you he made alive. You see, the most serious part about this whole transaction is that we were dead in our sins and trespasses. If you're not living for Jesus, you're dead in your sins and trespasses. If you haven't accepted Christ. To which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Children of anger. Just as others. But then you see a verse in there that says, but God in his mercy, when we were yet dead in our sins and trespasses, made us alive in Christ Jesus. If you weren't so tired this morning, you'd say amen. If you weren't just all wore out, you'd get excited. I don't want you getting too excited, because I could have a heart attack up here. Somebody said, if you want a new pastor, just say a few amens, he'll preach himself to death. I see that. We'll keep the old one. Now, if you take in that same chapter, skip down to verse 11. Skip down to verse 11, and you'll be confirmed what I was just telling you. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who were once called, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hand. So the Jewish people had a name for us. Uncircumcised heathens. That at that time, now listen to this, you were once far off. Back to 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens or separated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. I'm going to go back. I know you're distracted. Don't take much to distract you. Just a herd of wild buffalo. Look at that again now. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without Christ in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has broken down one wall, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. He's our peace that has broken down the walls that separate us from coming in. You may look at that and say, if you never do anything else, never, always keep a heart of thanksgiving to the Father and to Christ because they tore down that wall. Ronald Reagan wasn't the first person that said, tear down the wall. The Father told the world through Jesus Christ, get rid of the wall. I'm going to have one body. I'm going to have one people, Jews and Greeks, Gentiles. I'm going to bring everybody together, but there's one way to get together, and that's through Jesus Christ. And that opened the door. It opened the door for Tony.
Amen.
That in a foreign city, he could minister to somebody. Open the door for you. It opened the door for this region to be touched and ministered to by God as God's people reigning in his kingdom with God, separate ourselves to go out and minister. You see, that's what the disciples did. When persecution came, they went worldwide. And so we are no more strangers and foreigners. The only problem is sometimes we live like we are. God is our Father. He instituted a way to get us into his kingdom. And we struggle with mindsets about, does he really love us? Does he really care? Will he accept me where I am? Will he really offer all his blessings that were in Christ Jesus? Do I have any hope of becoming a Christian? Do I have any hope of having my life changed? Sometimes we don't witness to people because we're not sure of ourselves. Hello? It's true. We struggle with the same things that people in the world struggle with, and it's ridiculous. We've been accepted. You've been chosen. You've been anointed. You've been touched. You've been called by God. Wherever you are, you don't have to look for a new place to minister. You're living in one. And share the love. Share the love. Let the presence and power of God flow through you on your high school campus, in elementary school, in junior high, or middle school. Whatever it is, that love flows from you because you've been called and chosen by God to carry the message. And that's where God's taken us. It's kind of tragic, but foreign countries are sending missionaries to America. Why? Because millions of people who sit in church today sit on the promises of God during the week. You've been anointed. You've been forgiven. How many of you know you're free? How many of you are still looking for freedom? I'm free to praise God. I'm free to serve God. I'm free to walk in the anointing. I'm free to walk in the presence. I'm free to live my life. Why? Because he tore down the wall that separated me from him. It wasn't just being separated from the Jews. It was separated from God. He demolished it. So why? So we can demolish the wall that are holding people back away from Jesus. The lies of the enemy. Religion. All the stuff that people get caught up in. Can I tell you something? God's not religious. Forgive me. He's not religious. Religion is man trying to reach God. God already reached down to man. He doesn't need religion. He needs born-again people living for God, walking in the anointing, sharing the love of Christ, not worried about what people are saying. Amen. And you know something? You take that step, you'll be walking that anointing. And you'll know it. The anointing is in you. But sometimes we don't know it because we don't put ourselves in a place where it's used. So we're waiting on something. We're waiting till this happens. We're waiting till that happens. We're waiting till something else happening. And God said, take the step and you'll realize what I've already done in you. Hello? Isn't that great? As we've said before, you're released. Go raise havoc with the kingdom of the devil. Because the kingdom of the devil is trying to destroy a lot of people. Then Paul tells us something else. Going back, excuse me, going back to Colossians. Going back to Colossians 1. Verse 23 says, if indeed you continue in the faith grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, myself became a minister. Growth is a key for the believer. Growth is a key. Every disciple that went through Pentecost had to grow. They went through opposition. They went through beatings. They went through people making fun of them. They went through Herod cutting their heads off. And they grew. They grew. The blood around Jerusalem and Rome were sprinkled with the death of saints. And the church grew under the persecution. Paul writes to us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, I believe. Said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be solid, be strong, be powerful. Walk in that resistance to what the enemy wants to do in your life. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, our call is to grow and continue. The kingdom of God is advancing. It's not retreating. It's not intimidated. Doesn't matter who you meet. The kingdom of God is advancing, taking territory. abounding in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we realize that there are still many people that need to hear the word in clarity so they can respond out of faith to the message. I was watching a basketball game last night. In the first half, Sisseton was down by 12 to 14 points. I flipped it to another channel. I didn't want to see him get beat. So I started watching Wisconsin. I thought, I don't want to watch this. I love these guys. I love this team. This is my team. And I see that even Wilmont adopted us. Your son comes in and says, our team. I said, good. I turned it back a couple minutes later. Second half, we're down by 4. And I thought, wow. They're playing Madison, a team that's never been defeated in the last couple years. End of last year and on through this year, and I think 45 in a row, and little Sisseton is hanging in there with them. And then the refs. No, I'm joking. But they kept on playing. They kept in the game. They kept coming back. Madison would make a couple free throws. We did a three-pointer. Madison would do something. We'd counter it. Pretty soon, 27 seconds left. We're down by 2 points, and we have the ball. And I turned it off. No, I didn't. We had a chance to tie the game, and the ball went off the backboard, hit the rim, and come off the front rim. And they got the ball, and we fouled them and made 2 free throws. The game's over. You know where Sisseton was expected to be? They're expected to be home watching the game, because they weren't supposed to be in the tournament. We were the number 3 seed in our own division, and we ended up number 2 in the state. Not bad. And you say, what's so exciting about that? They kept on playing. Believers, keep your head focused on Jesus. Amen. You have no idea what God's going to do through us. The Bible says that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God is revealing them to us through the Spirit. There's a day-by-day revelation of God in our lives, what we're going to see, what's going to happen. And we don't sit on the bench. We don't fold our tents. We don't come to a place where, well, nothing's happening. You know the easiest thing for a team to do? And I've reffed a lot of games, probably too many. We can go to a game and we know that if a team scores 2 or 3 touchdowns in the first half and the other team doesn't score, the game's over. Do you know why? Because people quit trying. They just quit trying. They give up. You may have had some battles with the enemy. You may have had some things go wrong in your life. You may say nothing ever works out. Man, what am I supposed to do? You keep resisting the devil and you keep standing and you keep allowing God to work through you. We're never told to chase the devil. We're never told to kick the devil. We're told to resist the devil. Amen? Amen. Resist and he'll flee. We stand against everything Satan's doing in this community, in your home, in your family, in your children. We are not moved by what we see. We're moved by what God has told us.
Amen.
You may say, well, I made a mistake. Get over it.
Yes.
Don't let it affect the rest of your life. Well, this went wrong. So what? If you have not faced something that's excruciating and you're going through it, then you died prematurely. You were stillborn. Because every single human being, including Jesus Christ, faced obstacles that he had to go through. I remember somebody saying, and I was reminded of it the other day, we were talking to somebody going through some problems. I think it was Benny Hinn or somebody was saying, somebody came to him at service and said, "Well, the witches are praying against us." And his response was, "What do you think they're going to do? Send flowers?" They're doing what they're supposed to do. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're standing and we're taking a territory and authority in the name of Jesus. We are warriors and we're not wimps. No matter how your feelings are, no matter what you're going through, you are called by God to be an overcomer and a victor. And we continue the walk.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. And what a victory it is. Don't back down. Don't give up. Don't say, "Why in the world this happened?" Don't have your own pity party. Let me join you. I love parties. But we stand. And that's what this church is doing. That's why we're seeing some results. We haven't seen everything we want to see yet. We'll see that when we're with glory. We see that in heaven. But right now, God is just giving us the appetizer. The main course is coming. And thank God for the appetizer. I went to Ruby Tuesday the other day. My appetizer was 3 plates of salad. No, I'm not quite. And I wondered why the meal was so small. We walk it out. We live it for the Lord. Do not grow weary in well-doing, because you reap if you don't lose heart. There's a harvest coming. So what happens in June, Brian goes out and looks at his crop. It's only about this high, so he said I'm going to plow it under. Huh? He'd lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars simply for the fact it wasn't where he thought it should be. Come October, man, the corn looks good. Kirk tried to use a verse, and it was pretty close for Kirk. I was very proud of him. He says, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings." Of course, maybe his translation is different. I got to remember that. I apologize. Don't despise. Everybody had to start someplace. Don't give up because you don't think you're spiritually mature. Don't give up and say, "Well, I'm not doing nothing. I don't think I'm there yet." Don't give up because things aren't happening the way you want them to happen. Understand something. We water and plant and sow, but God gives the increase. God gives the increase. The increase is coming because the Holy Spirit doesn't fail to honor the Father. And so whatever you're sowing and wherever you are and wherever you're standing, understand the harvest will happen. But I don't see my neighbors out in their yard choking the apple trees because the apples are green. Got to wait till they ripen. You're getting ripe. You say, "What are you talking about?" You're becoming the fruit that pleases God and blesses Him. Don't turn back now. Don't sit down and say nothing's happening. Don't look at life as though life is miserable. This is the best time of your life. I don't care how old you are. This is the time that God has appointed and anointed to do the harvest, because you've sown and you'll see things happen that you could never imagine. That's prophetic. It's not pathetic. You're going to see it. The choice is yours to be a part of it. That's what I love. He says, you want to be a part of it? Jump in both feet. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened before. Forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward. I move in. And we're going to reap a harvest that God gives. And it's going to surprise you. Which one of those neighbors, or which one of those people you work with, or which boss, or which farmer, or whichever one it is going to come to a place where saying, I need this God. There's something different about you. I need this God. You know, in all the things I've seen God do, one of the, still the most exciting is see someone come to Christ. See someone come to Christ. Now here's the deal, and I'm done. You get part two. What was that verse I told you that I couldn't quite understand? I'll try to remember to bring that out next Sunday. You may look at me today and say, Pastor, I've never lived for Jesus. I've lived for myself. I've done everything for myself. But this is a day to make a change. Just simple change. There's no pressure. There's somebody here, and you were at a choir of the fire, and it just keeps coming. That you're kind of concerned about going back to school, because how am I going to live? We're going to live for Jesus, and God's already planned that. Just walk it out. Just walk it out. That just came. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it just came. Because you want to live for Jesus. When you want to live for Jesus, nothing can deter you. And so, here's the deal. And here's how much God loves you. God is full of kindness and mercy and grace. Second chances, all the time. Third, fourth chances, every day. But you need to make a choice. And that choice is simply this. Do I want God to take control of my life, or do I want to be in control? It's a big choice. And some of the questions that you'll come up with is, can I trust God to help me? If you're not living for God, you're living for the devil. Do you trust him to help you? I'm not trying to pull a joke, but it's true. There's only two sides, God's or Satan's. There's no middle ground. I just want you to think about it. And I love you enough through the Holy Spirit to give you that opportunity. I'm not trying to crash your party. For every person in the United States who's not living for God, or in the world that's not living for God, there's a better way. Amen? There's a better way.